From NPR News, this is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Last year marked the 50th anniversary of the Montgomery bus boycott. The protest is considered by many to be the starting point of the civil rights movement. Images of African Americans marching arm in arm to demand equal treatment and voting rights were broadcast around the world and have become an integral part of American history. But with many of the aims of the civil rights movement accomplished, members of Generation X seem removed from the political process. Here to talk about that disconnect is Jeff Johnson, Deputy Director of People for the American Way, an organization that promotes tolerance and diversity. Also with us, Jamu Green, a consultant and former head of Rock the Vote. We want to thank you for joining us. Greatly appreciated. Jamu, let me start with you. And we should note that this idea was brought about by the fact that both of you were participants in a panel discussion during the Wall Street Project by Rainbow Push. We had Reverend Jackson on last week, and one of the topics he talked about was bridging this gap between the civil rights movement generation and today's young leaders. I'm curious, whether you thought that, in fact, there is this bridge, and B, how have you been approached in the past by, quote unquote, the civil rights generation?
Well, I think that young African Americans have gone a very long way in the right direction to bridge this gap. The question itself about, you know, how do we get more young people involved in the political process, I don't think is the appropriate question, because if you look at the impact of young voters in the 2004 election, particularly African-American voters who had an 11 percentage point jump, which was the greatest increase in turnout of any racial or ethnic minority group in the election cycle, they are well on their way to being active participants in the political process. And so we have to stop pointing fingers at this generation and saying that you're not engaged, you're not participating. I think the story that came out right after the election that said young people didn't turn out, you know, it was all hype, and a lot of fingers that were pointed at P. Diddy and Russell Simmons for their efforts. The correct story that wasn't told was when the census numbers came out and showed that young African Americans had greatly increased their turnout in the election. We had seen turnout falling basically since 1988 from young African Americans, and it stayed that way until the 2004 election, where this generation was more engaged, more active, more participating in not just turning out their peers, but I think really responsible for helping to increase turnout across the board. In looking at what comes after an election, I think that's what is the really important question. How do you keep this generation engaged? How do you keep them connected to the issues that are being decided by their various elected officials? How do you keep them engaged in organizing in their communities? And that's where a gap needs to be bridged, especially with the civil rights generation. I've had, an incredible experience, I think, working with civil rights leaders who have opened up doors for me, who have, you know, shown me that it's not about asking for permission or asking for a seat at the table. They didn't do that when it was their turn. And I don't think that we should look to this generation and say, okay, let's see how many doors are going to be open. We can grab the reins of leadership in the same way that the civil rights leaders did.
Jeff Johnson, what of what Jamu just brought up? And that's the idea of being participatory past election day, and whether or not we're seeing that engagement from young people.
I think we are seeing it from young people. I think that the problem is we're not seeing it institutionalized from some of our larger organizations as it relates to young people. We have young people on the ground all over the country who are doing grassroots work, because for them it's never been about the presidential election. It's been about the local issues that are affecting my city. It's been about my school system. It's been about power plants in my community. I think as Jamu mentioned yesterday on our panel, it's been about these local issues that affect local folks. The question is, when are we going to be able to connect those grassroots folks institutionally to provide training and support, data, and raise a level of sophistication so that we do have at least what is an appearance of a national movement that is cohesive, not just national movements that are disconnected.
Let me raise this, Jamu, pick it up, and then Jeff, I'd like you to piggyback on it. And that's the idea that, and we've talked about this on the program before, and Jeff, I believe you might have even been on a roundtable, as you are one of the regular participants there, when we talked about the idea of young people's engagement. Historically, we have seen this kind of disconnect between the old guard and the new guard, but one of the issues that is happening now is that I hear from both sides, I've had candid conversations with civil rights leaders who are suggesting that they're tired, they're ready to sit down and put the mantle down. I hear from young leaders the idea that, hey, these guys aren't giving us a chance. All they're about is getting the spotlight, being at the press conference, but they're not doing the groundwork, and neither the two shall meet, it seems. Do you believe, Jamu, that there is a need to, even though we know historically it wasn't passed on, but there may be a need for some kind of private summit?
There, I think, is always a need for ongoing conversation and for mentorship and for training. But I think it's really important that our generation understand that it's not necessary for these reins to be handed over. And I don't think that that builds the best type of leadership. And we have young people across the country who are starting their own organizations, who are, you know, as Jeff said, really participating at the grassroots level already. And they're not doing that because someone has said, okay, I'm tired and now it's your turn. They're doing it because they're more engaged, they care about the issues in their community, and we hope that the leaders from the civil rights movement will support those efforts. I think that's where there is a big disconnect, when, you know, there are new efforts that pop up and they become competitive with the traditional organizations. That's not necessary. We can't
I got to interject, I think, because what I see is that I agree with you. I think that no generation has ever said, you know, please hand it to me, and it's been given to them. The difference is the civil rights generation was properly prepared. Part of what made them who they were is that folks like James Bevel and others trained young people so that they were prepared to be leaders, so that they had the adequate skills that they needed. So when they were ready to flex and take the reins of leadership, they were prepared. We don't see that happening as deliberately now as we did then. You have training centers that are here and there, Wellstone and others, but there is not an intrinsic communal training process that is taking place where civil rights leaders are saying, I want to make sure that this next generation is properly prepared to do this work. They've been so threatened, in my mind, by many young people that they refuse to train, and that's where the animosity comes into place. That's why we have younger groups compete, quote-unquote younger groups competing against older or established groups. And until that generation takes the responsibility of properly mentoring, you're going to continue to have that kind of animosity. I don't think you can get around it.
How much does it help, if at all, that you have a relatively young leader in Marc Morial at the National Urban League, that you see the emergence of a Barack Obama and a Harold Ford, people that perhaps Generation X could connect to, can connect to in an easier way than they can a Reverend Jesse Jackson or a Joe Lowry or others?
I think it definitely helps to see younger faces running for office and having powerful positions. I think, you know, one of the gaps that has to be built is that more women need to be the ones who are in front of the mic, who are the ones running for office. In many cases, we have women who are the backbone of our civil rights organizations, who are the ones on the ground organizing, really doing the work. But when it comes down to, you know, who is in front of the microphone, in many cases, it's not a woman. I think that's an important gap that has to be bridged as well.
Let me ask you this, Jeff, as relates to the seminar that you were involved with yesterday. Our friend George Curry was the moderator for it. What did you see? What did you hear from the group that gathered that seemed to be the pervasive issue, the pervasive problem, if you will, that was brought up on yesterday?
I think people are really concerned about what's going on at the local level. I mean, people talked a great deal about national infrastructure and networking, But I think people are concerned with how do I motivate young men, how do I motivate young people at the local level to be involved in this work. And so that was what I heard over and over again in different ways. How do we get men to be more responsible? I think Jammu made a great point yesterday, and I think it's important in this process, is how do we send a picture that leadership is diverse? And so part of the problem has been that young people, especially young men, believe that leadership is just about standing at the mic. And I think Jammu made this point very clear. How do we show young people it's about who's managing the money for these organizations so that we're fiscally responsible? Who's making sure that there's an adequate press team? Who's making sure that there is a media presence? Who's making sure that there's strategic planning? How do we diversify leadership for young people so young people don't think that leadership only looks like Martin Luther King, but understanding that King had a team of people behind him that enabled him to do what he did? And until we show young people that leadership is diverse, then we're continuing to try to fit young people into a box that they're not prepared for. And I think that's one of the things we heard over and over again yesterday.
Jammu, briefly, if you would, talk to me about the idea that during the civil rights movement, there was a common enemy, and that's segregation. We don't always see that today. Is there something that you believe young people can rally around as a collective and move forward?
I think there are many issues that young people are already rallying around, and it goes back to the local level, whether it's, you know, environmental justice in their neighborhoods, whether it's even the Social Security fight that the administration put forward this year and really tried to reach out to young people, and particularly young blacks, and try to really, I think, take away one of the most successful government programs we've ever seen on the backs of this generation, on the backs of African Americans, that young people have a right, especially after the 2004 election and the increase we saw in their turnout, to say, okay, now that you're having these legislative conversations, now that you are talking about how to affect change in our communities, we have an opinion. And we're seeing that all over the country. We're seeing them more engaged, more active. All right. There are many issues that I think still have to be addressed to continue to engage and bring in more young people. One of them being the fact that there are so many disenfranchised felons out there in several states that
Jammu,
aren't allowed to
vote. Unfortunately stop you there as we get into the minutia of it. But one thing's for sure, the two of you have been on the front lines in moving this generation forward. Jeff Johnson, Deputy Director of People on the American Way, and Jammu Green, a consultant and former head of Rock the Vote. I thank you both for joining us. Appreciate it.